Amen. We will be gathered together in the morning of joy. There are many that will not be able to enter in on that great day, but there are many that will enter in. And I will like to tell you on this morning or this afternoon that I plan on getting there. And if you are planning the same thing, I'll see you there. But if your mind is not on what God would have you to do, if you are not striving to be who God would have you to be, you will not make it. It is not for us to take lightly the words of God. It is for us to strive to do all that we can while we can. So that is why on this morning, I want to remind you of some things. The sermon topic, sometimes we need to be reminded about. And we're going to look at those about in just a moment. But I have no problem with you calling me on Sunday morning to remind me where I need to be. I have no problem with that. No one has done that, but I have no problem with it. I have no problem with you calling me through the week and saying, hey, don't forget that you need to be at the radio station at 2 o'clock. As long as you don't do it on Wednesday and on Saturday and Sunday, I have no problem with that. A man called me just the other day, and just hilarious. Mr. Spencer, some of y'all may already know who he is. I ain't going to call his name. Let me see if he's here this morning. No, he's not here. Mr. Spencer, I'm not going to be able to call in today, or I'm not going to call in today, but I just want you to know I'm going to be listening. He reminded me that he was going to be listening. I'm going to get my popcorn, and I'm going to be listening, though. I just want you to know I'm going to try not to call in. It was Mr. Strong. I'm going to go ahead and tell y'all who it was. It's no secret. I'm going to be listening to you. He just reminded me that he was going to be listening. It's not like I was going to say anything that he hasn't heard before. But he was going to be listening. He just wanted to remind me. Because there are some times where he won't call in. But he wants us to know that he's listening to the program, and he's listening, and he's waiting for that opportune moment when he could call in and ask a question concerning God's Word. He just wanted to remind me that he was going to be listening. Well, as we talk about reminding people about certain things, here's just a friendly reminder about some of them right now. About virtue. As you go back and you look in 2 Peter chapter 1, about virtue is defined as force, strength, and moral goodness. That's what virtue is all about. And I want to take the time to just give you a friendly reminder this morning that we all need to have virtue in our lives. Amen. We need to be the people that God wants us to be, not trying to conform to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Virtue. We all need it. In the book of Philippians chapter 4, Philippians chapter 4 and the verses 8. Because there are some that do not have virtue. They do not have strength the way they need to have it. They do not force the things that they need to force. They do not show this moral goodness in their lives the way God would have them to show it. Philippians 4 verse 8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." But there are many that do not like the truth. There are many that do not like to be honest. There are many that do not like to be just. There are many that do not like to be pure. There are many that do not like to be lovely. And there are many that do not like the things of a good report. But I believe, I honestly believe, that we have some virtuous people among us on today. And we need to keep being who God would have us to be. Keep showing this moral goodness that God would have us to show. And actually, as we look at and consider this strength thing, that we need to do it the way God tells us to do it. In Ephesians chapter 6, starting with verse 10. You know, as Paul writes there in the book of Philippians, he says there at the end, "Finally." And as he's writing here to the church of Ephesus, he says, "Finally." He may not ever get another opportunity to write to them, but he says, "Finally." You know, there's some things I want you to consider, some things I want you to do. Verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might." And I believe that as we consider the things in which we do on a regular basis, the people that we talk to and we try to convince them or to provoke them to continue to live the way God would have them to live, sometimes at the end of our conversation with them, we need to say, "Finally, this is what you need to do." He says in verse 11, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Finally, put on the whole armor of God. Paul didn't say, "I want you to just put on the breastplate." Paul didn't say, "I just want you to pick up your sword." Paul said, "The whole armor of God." As we think back and realize that when David got ready to go up against Goliath, there were those that said, "Here, take my armor." David was a little man. Just a child, just a boy. The armor that they were trying to give him, it would not fit. It was going to be too big. He wouldn't be able to maneuver the way he was supposed to maneuver. All he needed was his slingshot and those stones in order to conquer Goliath, because he had God on his side. So put on the whole armor of God. Not no one else's, but your own armor. "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in all in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench some of the fiery darts of the wicked." No, that's not what he says, is it? He says all. So those of us that think that we're going through something that we cannot get over it, you're sadly mistaken. Sadly mistaken. And the reason you are sadly mistaken is because you have not put on the whole armor of God. He says that you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And after you've taken all of those things, you know, we have to understand what we need to do. He said, praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So you're not just fighting for yourself. You're fighting for others as well. You're fighting for the things that you know to be right. You're doing as Jude says in verse 3, contending earnestly for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. You know, Paul, as he was writing there to the church of Ephesus there, he mentioned all several times. You take the whole armor, all the armor, and all prayer and supplication, all perseverance and supplication for all saints. See, this is a virtuous person. Paul wanted the church of Ephesus to have virtue according to what God wanted them to have and how He wanted them to have it. What about you on today? Just a friendly reminder about knowledge. Knowledge is intelligence, understanding, moral wisdom. See, we need to be intelligent about some things. You know, we're not the smartest people in the world. At least, shall I say, I'm going to speak for self, because some of you may beat me up later. I'm not the smartest man that ever stepped foot on this earth. By no means. But you know what? I can have knowledge about God's Word. Why? Because He tells me I can. You can have knowledge about God's Word. Why? Because He tells you that you can. An understanding. This moral wisdom that we all need in order to get along with one another. Just a friendly reminder. Because there are some that are lacking these things. Ephesians chapter 5, the verse 17. Ephesians 5, the verse 17. Go ahead, Brother Theotis.
Therefore, do you not unwise, but understanding what the will of God is.
Be ye not unwise. See, we need some people that are not unwise. Well, we need some people to say that, you know, I'm wise according to what God wants me to do and how He wants me to do it. Why? Because I've been looking in His Word and I see these things. I understand these things. I understand what the will of the Lord is. You know, many people will say, you know, if it's the Lord's will, I'm going to go to worship on Sunday morning. What do you mean, if it's the Lord's will? Yes, it's His will. If you are able, it's His will that you are here. You don't have to say it. The Bible teaches us that it is His will that we assemble ourselves together. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. Let us consider one another, provoke unto love and unto good works. Let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as their manner some is, but exhort one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. It is the Lord's will that we do what is right. We can gain this knowledge. We can have the understanding and know what God desires of each one of us. You know, the work that you do may not be the same work that I do or the next man do. But it's the work that you understand that you need to do. Maybe you're good at going out to visit people. Maybe you're good at feeding people. Maybe you're good at helping people along their way. You understand what the will of the Lord is. We're supposed to help one another. We're supposed to feed one another. We're supposed to visit one another. You understand this. So keep doing it. Knowledge. Knowledge. The commercial talked about when you set your mind on the boarding plantation, you best set your mind to work. It talks about that the mind is a terrible thing to waste. And if you are not staying in God's Word, you are losing and wasting your minds. We don't want that. We just want to remind you from God's Word, using some of the words that Paul used to remind you of what you need to be doing. You need to be studying on a daily basis. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. Let's actually back up to verse 1 and go down through verse 4. Because this is something that I find myself reminding people of on a regular basis. That they need to pray for our leaders instead of keep talking about them. Pray for them. Amen. Why? He's going to tell you why right here. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Not those that you just, oh, I feel like I'm just going to pray for these people here. I don't want to pray for them. He says, all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that ye may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. They didn't have presidents back then, but they had kings, didn't they? But you know what? God is God. He's our creator. He even included the president in this because he says, for all that are in authority, pray for them. That we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. And who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. Knowledge. You open up God's Word and you share it with people. You show them in God's Word what God expects of them to do. You open up His Word. Oh yeah, we can stand back and we can tell people what they're supposed to do, but until we show it to them, they really don't care. You can sum it up and tell it to them in one way and they don't want to believe you, but when you show it in God's Word, then it's really left up to them whether or not they should believe it or whether or not they should not believe it. It's God's Word. I don't care how you say it, it is God's Word. Pray for our leaders. Why? So that they may come to the knowledge of the truth. That's why we pray for them. Many will not, but then there are others that will. Let's keep praying for them. Let's keep praying for them. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Why do we pray for one another? That they may have this knowledge of what His will is, what God desires of you. That you may have this wisdom and spiritual understanding. So we can understand some things out there in the world, because many of us were out there in the world. And then again, there are some that have all this book sense and don't know what's going on out there in the world. Paul says here that you can have wisdom and you can have spiritual understanding. You can have all the book sense that's out there. You can have all the common sense that's out there. But if you don't have any sense about who God is and what God desires of you, that is not going to benefit you not one bit. So we need to get in the Word of God. We need to know what this knowledge is all about. Temperance. Temperance. Self-control. Restraint. So we have to know when to keep hammering something home, and we have to know when to just back off a little bit. We have to know these things. Self-control. There are many people that do not exercise self-control. Whatever their mind says for them to do, they're going to do it. Have no restraint. Don't try to hold me back. Just let me do what I want to do and let me do it as long as I want to do it. No, we need to have some temperance. We need to have some self-control. Acts chapter 24, verse 25. Acts 24, verse 25. Says, as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time, and when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." How many of us, if the president called us and said, "I want you to come and I want you to have a Bible study with me. I want you to teach me some things concerning God's Word." How many of us will be willing to go? How many of us will be willing to go? How many of us say, "That's the president. Oh, I don't want to go and talk to him." You know, Paul didn't have a problem talking with leaders. And when Paul talked with leaders, he didn't have a problem with telling them the truth concerning God's Word. Felix here said, you go your way for a time, and if I have a convenient season, I'm going to call for you. Do you think Felix ever called him? What about Agrippa? As Paul was teaching him the truth, he said, "You have almost persuaded me to become a Christian." Well, why do we need to pray for our leaders? That we may somehow, somebody, somewhere may have the opportunity to go and sit with them and tell them the truth. And then it's in their hands whether or not they want to obey it or not. We need to have some self-control when we do those things. We need to have some restraint when we do those things. We have to know how to talk to people. There are many that don't know how to talk to people. They just talk to them any kind of way and talk down on them and this, that, and the other. Oh, he'll never become a Christian because look at his beliefs. He don't care about those women that go and kill their kids, you know, abortion. He don't care about those things. He don't care about what God's Word says about same-sex marriages. There are many of us that did not care about what God's Word said about abortion. There are many of us that didn't care and probably still don't care about what God's Word said about drunkenness. There are many of us that didn't care and probably still don't care about what God's Word said about fornication and adultery. But did that stop someone from teaching us the truth? See, we need to understand what self-control is all about. We need to understand what restraint is all about, what this temperance is all about. So, just a friendly reminder. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, I guess, huh? We're going to read down through verse 26. Because we need this self-control. We need this temperance. We need this restraint. And we're not going to get it by doing the things of the world. Verse 22 of Galatians chapter 5, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. They that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." No law, Paul says, against those that love. You can't say, "Oh, I'm going to love you to death." No. If you love a person to death, you've committed murder. There's no law against loving anyone too much. Ooh, I'm just overwhelmed with joy. Can't have too much joy. Fill my cup with joy. Let it overflow. Peace. You know, we cannot have too much peace. That's why, you know, we read that we can live peaceably here with men. They allow you to have peace, you need to have peace. You're not going to get arrested for having peace, for being patient with people. This long suffering, this gentleness, this goodness, this faith, this meekness, this temperance. Against there is no law. No law. What are you doing today with what God has given you? What are you doing trying to get the things that you do not have in your life in order to put them there in your life? What are you doing? What are you doing? Titus chapter 1 verse 8. Titus chapter 1 verse 8. Just a friendly reminder. We need to be reminded about some things. I know that you have the same book I have, which is called the Bible. You can read these things for yourself, but sometimes we just need to be reminded. Amen. Titus chapter 1, verse 8. Be a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate. Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Be a lover of hospitality. Are you sure in hospitality the way you're supposed to? Are you a lover of good men the way God would have you to be a lover of them? How's your mind? Or are you in control of your mind? Or are you sober-minded? You know, there are so many people that are not in control with their minds because they're doing things to corrupt their minds. Just, holy, temperate. When we was talking on the radio the other day about being holy, about being sanctified. Are you sanctified the way God wants you to be sanctified? Again, that temperate, again, that temperance, that self-control. Do you have it? Do you have it? If not, why not? Why not? Just a friendly reminder. Patience. This is something that we all need to work on, isn't it? Patience. You're working on my last nerve. My patience is running out now. Steadfastness, endurance. If you cannot endure the small things, what makes you think that you can endure the big things, the great things? We need to have patience one with another. We need to have patience because God has had patience with us. See, many of us do not deserve to be here right now because of the sins that we have committed. The disobedience that we have shown toward our parents. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord. But this is right. That it may be well with you and they may have long life on this earth. It's the first commandment that a promise is attached to it. Think about how many times we were disobedient to our parents. And if God so desired, He could have struck us down, but He didn't. Long suffering. Long suffering. Some of us who are 40, 50 years old, our parents are still living and they still ask us to do things and we still look at them like, no, I'm not going to do it. Less known, a child looking at their parents and saying, I'm not going to do it. But patience, patience. Parents have told us, you just wait till you have children. You'll see. And yes, our children have worked on our last nerves, but we can have patience with them. We can have patience with them. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11. We need to have patience because God has had patience. 1 Timothy 6, verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Man of God, he says. You follow after these things. Don't give up. Have patience. Don't turn around and go in the opposite direction. Have patience, steadfastness, endurance. Keep moving forward. Never retreat. The Bible, it teaches us to run from a sin. You know, come away from sin. Flee youthful lust. It don't say retreat, go back toward. It doesn't say flee. That means moving forward. When you tell the devil to get thee behind you, you tell him, get behind me. I'm not going to retreat and let you catch up with me. Moving forward, getting away from these things, because we have patience in God. We know what it means to have steadfastness. We know what it means to have endurance. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. How many of you do not have patience? How many of you do not have self-control or temperance? How many of you do not have the knowledge that you need? How many of you are not virtuous the way you need to be? How many? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. We already looked at 24 and 25, but it says in verse 26, "For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice of sins." So what are we going to do? What are we going to do? We can't turn back. We can't say, "I'm going to continue to go out and live a life that God is displeased with." No, we have to be moving forward. We have to live the way He wants us to live. We have to be the people that He wants us to be. Just a friendly reminder. Just a friendly reminder. Not mad at you. Not upset with you. We just want to remind you. Because there are times where we need to be reminded. You know, you used to go around when you wanted to remember something, they used to say, well, tie a string around your finger and you can remember what you're supposed to do. A lot of times what happens is we forget why we got the string around our fingers. So you know what I want you to do? I don't want you to tie a string around your finger. I don't want you to tie a string around anything. I want you to write the Word of God on your heart. I want you to know what God wants you to do. In whatever situation you get in, now I said that I don't want you to retreat, but I just want you to stand still. And I just want you to pray to God. And I just want you to ask God, Lord, what does your word tell me I need to do? Amen. Then there are you that are not a Christian at all. You don't have that benefit. You need to get in Christ in order to understand Christ. You need to be a child of God to understand what God wants you to do and what God wants you to be. So if you're here and you're not a Christian and you want to become one, I'm here to remind you that the Bible says in Mark chapter 16, verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. I'm here to let you know that baptism still saves. According to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, water still saves. There's only one baptism. According to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5, one baptism, not two. But one. We're not waiting on no Holy Ghost baptism. We just want you to be baptized in the water. As Peter told the men there on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, verse 37, when they said Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Not be baptized in it, but receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Baptism still saves. Maybe you're here and you are a child of God, but you have strayed away and you're ready to come back. That opportunity is yours. Do not hesitate. I want to remind you of something. That in the end, on that last day, that you're going to have to give an account of the deeds done in the body, whether good or whether bad. Just a reminder. You can't get away with anything. All is going to be laid out on the table. The good things you've done, the bad things. What's going to come out ahead? Injury, is God going to say, Oh, I love all the good that you have done. Enter in, my good and faithful servant. Or, sorry, I don't even know you. Depart from you, workers of iniquity. That's what the Bible says. In the book of Matthew chapter 7, verse 23. Jesus said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I know you not. No matter how much good you've done, because there they are. But didn't we do this? Look at all the good works we've done. I don't know you. You did them, but I don't know you. Don't let that happen. Don't let that happen. If you're here and you're subject to the invitation, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.